Anyone else have anything for Ms. Guskey? Any other technical issues the committee wants to look at? Representative Adams?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure how technical it is, but I think I should hand it out to my colleagues. Since we did hear from our good friends that they had removed some of those sections that had spoken about the duty of the DEP to begin at a relatively short time frame the conversion from gas-powered vehicles to electric vehicles and to all-electric house heating, et cetera, that changed the wording of the, or at least the sense of what was in the preamble to the bill, which goes into law, of course, and is the reason that we are, it is our reason that we're doing it. So I took my pen in hand at an hour or two late last night to be doing it, but nevertheless did, to change some of the words in the preamble to reflect that, but retain all the good sight and sense that the committee had done, and merely for making sure we all have a chance to read it and reflect on it before we do anything with it, I'd like to pass it out now.
Yes,
so also give a copy to Beth and to Todd so that they could see that at least no pride of authorship in it. You should never write things after 11 o'clock at night. Nevertheless, there it would be. If I may, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. And we can speak about it when we work the bill next. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think so. I think it would be good. You're going to, Representative Adams, you're going to walk us through the whereases, and if you would like that, Mr. Chairman, I will.
And
if I may look on with my seatmate here,
thank you. I think you gave all the copies.
I gave my copy away. I didn't think it would be that popular, but there's a lot of fish to be.
A lot of popularity in the audience. A
lot of fish to be wrapped,
yes,
today.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I had been in heeding the comments of our colleagues on the committee and the good folks who were drafting the response to our points. We had requested, and they had removed those portions of the bill that had requested the DEP to begin planning for the immediate transition from other fueled vehicles to all-electric and to heating of our homes, notably in an all-electric fashion. Well, that thought having been removed, but good thoughts nonetheless appearing in the preamble, and certainly not to quibble with them, I had attempted at a late hour to just substitute some of the language. And that is what appears here, to keep the good thoughts that the bill came in with, and there were many, and to add this change as it took place. And in the fourth whereas, as you see, It would mean that our deep, untapped deep water wind resources could, quote, starting with the underlined, make a significant contribution to the state's energy sources to meet the state's changing needs for clean sources of light, power, heat, transportation fuel, to meet the state's ambitious renewable portfolio standards, and to make the state a net exporter of clean, renewable indigenous energy. The reason I say it that way is Maine is already a net exporter of energy, probably not always for the best reasons, sadly, but we are a net exporter now. Our goal, however, is to be a net exporter of clean energy, renewable energy. Likewise, as we move down to the fifth, whereas, the sense of the words that I'm trying to capture is that there is more than one use for the ocean. I needn't read them all out loud. There's more than one use for the ocean. We must be mindful of its biological diversity, the many needs of the eco-culture and of the harvesting culture. Thank you. And that the benefits of all, including the new energy generated in the ocean in the future, should, of course, come to benefit the people of the state of Maine. And I believe that at one point later, since we are not moving now to an all-electric future, I move it to timely, that we shall move toward development of our renewable sources in a timely fashion. And I believe I've caught all of those things, Mr. Chairman. No pride of authorship at that hour of the night. I believe that a fellow teacher on the panel, Mr. Wagner, has caught some corrections and given me a C minus already. So. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I won't ask.
3-point average is going up.
Nice comeback, Representative Adams. Would you agree?
I would agree, and I can hardly wait to get Representative Hink's daughter in my class at the University of Southern Maine and take what revenge I can.
Well done. Any comments? Representative Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just suggest on the fourth whereas, rephrasing it, so it would read, to make a significant contribution to the state's energy sources to meet the state's changing needs for, let's say, renewable as opposed to clean sources of light and power, heat and transportation fuel, to meet the state's ambitious renewable energy portfolio standards, and to position the state to export renewable indigenous energy.
Friendly amendments?
Even better.
No pride of authorship.
No pride of authorship. There's no pride of anything after 11 p.m., believe me.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, just in the sixth whereas, just reverse the order of the words action and timely. So it reads necessitates timely action. Thank you.
We'll take that as a friendly amendment. We will.
So taken, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we're going to include that language. Everyone?
Now I know how Very Tom good. Jefferson felt on the 5th of July. You know, right?
No good to me.
He didn't
We have made good progress in this. I think that we've cut out all of the significant problems that I think were brought out by the stakeholders, surprisingly by some groups I never thought I'd hear from, but I think it's made, you know, the valid constructive criticism, so we're going forward. Does everyone feel comfortable with the present language? I don't want to rush anyone, but Representative Fletcher?
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got to think and use the thoughts of the rest of the committee to think about this long-term contracting approach. I think,
yes.
You know, I think we just can't assume it is the way we've done it in the past, because we're using it for another purpose, maybe a worthy purpose. And I've really got to understand why the commission must issue a solicitation for a long-term contract by September 1st, 2010. Because it almost seems like before we put everything together, we're going to go out and ask people to come back with a bid. And there's probably a good reason, but I just don't understand why it's got to be when, what is that, 5 or 6 months away, when in fact we know we aren't even going to have anything in the water until 3 or 4 years away.
Mr. Ward, can you help us out with that?
Sure. Jake Ward, University of Maine. Department of Energy, the program the Obama administration is trying to fund in the Department of Energy to subsidize demonstration projects of offshore wind is in the current budget cycle and would, if carried forward, would be probably available in October of this year. So if we don't have projects in the running, we miss the opportunity to compete for that fund. And the other part of that is that if this does go in federal waters, the MMS permitting process right now is quite lengthy. So people would have to propose, and a condition of the contract would certainly be having your MMS permits in place. So it just a place to get it started more than anything else.
So if I may, just to make sure I understand it, that is not, well, that time is determined by what potentially is going to happen at the federal level with the issuance of grants, not necessarily the critical path to meet. Yes, it is, but it's not a critical path to build to get there by whatever period of time. It's because of that timing, not so much when we've got to really make that decision. My follow-up question is...
You're correct.
And it really gets to, in reviewing the bids, the commission may negotiate. I would like to hear from the commission, I guess, as to what their thoughts and what policy direction they may need from us to be in those negotiations and what's critical. Thank you.
Want to comment, Mr. Ward?
I guess maybe just a follow-up to that comment is, I mean, obviously, you don't want to jerk the bidders around by changing the rules in the middle of the game, but what you're saying is we got to get started and we got to ask for proposals soon. But I see a lot of permissive language in here that says may, and that we still have the opportunity as the bids come in or as we begin to talk with more people, we just want to get the process going, that theoretically we can continue to provide the commission with some direction as this unfolds, because we just don't even know really what's out there. And as long as a lot of this stuff is in the may standpoint and not in the shall, then I think we give it our best shot at saying this is the universe we'd like to be playing in. And as long as the bidders know that this is, and I assume they do, this is a demonstration project, we're all trying to figure out good policy, you know, that what comes out the other end may not be exactly what goes in the front end, that I'm more comfortable with it. And I understand your concerns, but, you know, the rules of the game may change as we go forward.
My name is Jim. To follow up, one of the things that might be helpful, and I didn't understand the importance of the September 1 because of the federal grants. I was thinking that was critical to get to the end point. So if somebody could expand that critical path timeline that says September 1, when the negotiations would take place, PUC, when that would all be going through, it sounds like that's when we're here, right? When we're here in 2011. But just to make sure, you know, like if there was an expectation that all this was going to happen before January 1, I think it'd be important for this committee to know that, because that would say how much direction and policy direction we need to give before we leave if it's going to be done. Now, if it's going to be the next legislature, 125th, and there'd be plenty of time for the committee to provide whatever guidance, then that would be fine.
I guess I have to ask whether perhaps this section might be a resolve rather than law.
It is drafted to be, because it's in the bill, it's an unallocated section.
Okay.
It's of the same nature as a resolve.
Okay.
Since they're statutory provisions, this would be.
I hate to get everything all the way into law and then change and then rethink it, because a year from now we're all going to be a lot smarter about what's sort of going on here and the likelihood that we may want to.
Oh, I mean, a resolve is law.
I mean in statute.
Anything else, Doug? Anything you'd like to add? Anything from the board or for Dr. Nixon? Are there any stakeholders that are here that have any information that could be helpful to the committee? Good evening, Ms. Collins.
Senator Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Appreciate it very much for your comments.
The committee, I'm calling it out with the PUC. And with respect to Representative Fletcher's questions, you know, Mitch wasn't able to be here for the latter part of this afternoon, but Karen Tilburg and I have just spoken, and Beth Nagusky, and we thought we would talk more tomorrow morning and we'll be able to report. The commission will be able to answer those questions for you either sometime tomorrow or certainly by the work session in the afternoon, if that would be acceptable.
Yeah, that would be very good. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. Anyone else have anything to add?
Table this until we meet tomorrow?
I think that would be a good idea. We've made good. Anyone have any real heartburn about anything that's missing that we'd like to have further comments, or are we pretty close, I would say, to coming up with a report? Or the other possibility is, I mean, do you want to leave it as it is, or do you want to make a motion and make a motion second and have a vote subject to review, Representative Fletcher?
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm probably the only one in the room that's got this angst, but I got to come to grips with this long-term contracting issue.
That's fair enough.
And until we've got something that at least I can understand and says this is how we're going to make sure we don't sign spend a lot of money that all flows back to the ratepayers, I've got to understand it. Now, if that's the last resort, well, then that's a decision we're going to have to make. But I think that we've got to really spend some time, and I'll need the expertise of the PUC to say, here's what existing law says. If we wanted to get to another point, and I'll use two or three examples, what would we have to do in law to change that? Not for everybody, but for this unique and special condition.
That's a valid point. I think we've got some good wordsmith that could figure that out. If you could get that back to us, that would be helpful. Or come up with some ideas that could address that issue. That would be helpful. I'm kind of looking at five different people in the room, six people. I think it's kind of a collective. I don't know. There's a little bit of reluctance. I think they all want you to do it, Ms. Nagusky. Or probably Mr. Burroughs. You could draw the short straw here, I think. Oh, of course. Ms. Collins, you have some other people you can assign that to, can't you? Okay. Good. Anything else for anyone? Representative Flaherty.
Move to table till the call of chairs.
Just a second. All in favor? Very good. We've had a good day. We'll bring up tomorrow. We're going to have a busy day. We start at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We have our committee luncheon at 12:15, and so we will work late if we have to, which I think we will.